Matthew 11, 25 through 30, this is the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord, we just offer our time to you. Pray that the truths that are here in your word, ancient words, true words, words that aren't out of date, but words that still we need to believe in our hearts because they have the ability through the power of your Spirit to transform us. So I pray we would listen. I pray we would think. I pray you would bring things to our mind. And Lord, as you invite us in these passages, in these verses, that we would come to you and find rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to kind of get you drawn in, to get you thinking, get your hearts and minds ready. Are you tired? Always. Yes. Are you exhausted from the responsibilities and stresses of this life? Yes. Do all the things on your mind drain you? Jesus says, "Come to me." Are you tired of trying to be someone you're not? Or from trying to be good enough, but you just can't measure up? Jesus says, "Come to me." Do you feel like a failure and just can't quite get yourself pulled together? And Jesus says, "Come to me." Do you have doubts and insecurities about your faith? Jesus says, "Come to me." If you're a Christian, whatever you're experiencing, however long you've been a Christian, what does Jesus say to you? Come to me. If you're not yet a Christian, you've been studying it, you've been thinking about it, you've been interacting with the claims of Christ, Jesus says to you, "Come to me." That's today's teaching. Simple, right? Some might even think that just sounds fanciful. All the questions you asked, and just the simple answer of "come to Jesus." That just sounds... And yet Jesus says, "Come to me, for everything has been turned over to me by my Father." So if Jesus says you can come, then guess what? You can come. It makes me think of Alistair Begg, if you've heard him say this on his radio program, when he's preaching on the three guys on the cross, and the one guy that eventually, after much consternation and conflict, eventually, after those number of hours on the cross, he comes to faith. And he tells the story of, imagined story, of this guy getting to the pearly gates, one of the guys on the cross, and the people at the gates say, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I'm not sure, but the guy on the middle cross said I could come." So if Jesus says you can come, you can come. But we have to remind ourselves that coming to Jesus is not a to-do list. I was watching, Lexi was in a cross-country race a few weeks ago, and as runners were crossing the finish line after this race, we were there with cups of water to give them. And you can imagine, after a 5K where these kids are running all out, And it was in August, so it was still, you know, 85 or 90 and humid. And, you know, they're just, their faces are red, there's sweat pouring off. Some of them are just stumbling across the finish line. Some of them fell. And then you hold out these cold cups of water. And to watch them take them and take one and pour it on their head and be refreshed. And the other one to drink down. That's more like what come to Jesus means. It's not a five-step plan, but it's turning your heart to Jesus by faith and trusting in him. And he says, here's the great promise of this passage. I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will revive you. I will restore you. This has the same intent, I think, as his exhortation in John that John records. Come to me and drink. It's living water to refresh you. It's refreshing. It's thirst quenching. And you can drink as often and as much as you want. His water never runs out, and he never tires of you coming to him. Okay, so that's the setup. I mean, we could stop and do application, couldn't we? Let's try to tease out maybe a little bit more. And what we want to see here is, who is Jesus? And that's what our three points are going to answer. So the first one, who is Jesus? He's the gentle and lowly one. When you think of God, do you think of gentle and lowly? Do not contemporary authors spill much ink trying to convince us that our faith, the religion that we are part of, that we serve a God who's a bloodthirsty tyrant due to all the blood that's spilled in the Old Testament in animal sacrifice? Other authors, other speakers want to accuse God of unthinkable cruelty and genocide for his judgment on wicked towns and villages in Canaan and other places. And perhaps you, much like me, grew up in an atmosphere, a church atmosphere, where the God who was preached and taught was exacting, impatient, eager to drop the hammer and let you have it for every little mistake. At a moment's notice, just ready to pounce on you. And you never felt like you ever measured up. And you always lived in fear of God. And yet here we have Jesus disclosing his heart, the very center of who he is. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's astounding, isn't it? I mean, it's enough to render me speechless. And maybe for some, it's even confusing. If not for that little phrase in verse 27, where he says, Jesus reveals the Father. And then if we were to pull in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, finish it. You've seen the Father. There's no good Jesus and bad Father. When Jesus reveals his heart, he's revealing the heart of the Godhead. That's astounding. God's heart is gentle and lowly. But what does that mean? Well, gentle means he's benevolent. He's understanding. He's patient. He's inclined to forgive. He's without spitefulness. The theological lexicon of the New Testament adds this about gentle. It's a calm and soothing disposition characterized by restraint and modesty, contrasted with rage and savagery. Jesus' heart is also lowly. Some of your translations translate, ESV says lowly, yours says what? Humble. Not arrogant. Down to earth. Approachable. Not distant. Not aloof. He doesn't have high and lofty requirements to meet before you can get time with him, but you can just come. Now consider the opposite of gentle and lowly. Loud, aggressive, condescending, outbursts of anger, spiteful. But this is not Jesus. He's gentle and lowly. He's kind and compassionate. He quickly forgives. He has abundant grace for your sins and your mistakes. Okay, that's one category. We all feel those. We're less likely to talk about our fears and insecurities. And he's got grace and compassion for those too. Think about, just let your mind run through the Gospels. How he demonstrated grace with his disciples. He demonstrated patience with his proud disciples. The week he's about to go to the cross, what are they still talking about as they're walking into Jerusalem? Who's the greatest? He moves toward the outcast and the unclean. He dines with and forgives those that the society says are unforgivable, they're unlovable, they're disgraceful. This is the only time Jesus ever says in the Gospels, "This is my heart." This is the core of who Jesus is. In Dane Ortlund's book, Gentle and Lowly, here's what he says that I think is helpful. Your sins and foibles and insecurities and doubts and anxieties and failures can never outmatch his heart of gentle embrace. Is this who you thought Jesus was? Is this who you thought the Father was? Jesus will never stop being gentle and lowly. And he says, come to me. Well, secondly, who is Jesus? He's the one with a light burden and an easy yoke. Look at verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is, right? There's probably two kinds of yokes in the scripture. One, I have a picture, probably the one that comes to our mind most often. Will it not pull up? Okay. Yeah, we might need to wait. The first is the one that you see two oxen in. That's the one we think of most often. This wooden bar that goes across both oxes, and it has links on the ends to be able to connect back to the implement that it's pulling, the wagon, the plow, whatever it is. That's really sad. So you've got to really have a good imagination here. Whiteboard. Steve, where were you in my planning? I could probably get a kid up here and a piece of paper and they could draw one in a second. The second yoke that's found often in the scripture is a yoke that goes on a person. Remember, I can't remember the chapter in Jeremiah. It might be 23, but remember the false prophet Hananiah?
Yeah.
After the first deportation of the people to Babylon, he tells the leaders, the king, hey, this is going to be short-lived. It's only going to be 2 years, and then they'll be back. And the Lord tells Jeremiah, no, you tell them what you thought was a yoke of wood is going to be a yoke of iron. And then later, he says, and the king of Babylon is going to come, and he's going to put yokes on your head. And it may say rings in your nose, and he's going to drag you off to Babylon. So the second yoke in Scripture is a single yoke that is usually used for servitude, for submission to a master. It's control, forced submission. So with a little twist, Jesus here is urging people to voluntarily take on his yoke. The implication, I think, is that people are already, they already have a different yoke that's extremely burdensome and it's causing them to be weary. So you can answer this one. What yoke were the people in Jesus' day already experiencing?
Roman Empire.
The law? Yeah. Keep going with that. Various interpretations of the law. Keep going.
Roman Empire.
A Roman Empire. What about the Pharisees? They make life easy?
Do this, do that.
Do this, do that. Not just what the Lord had given them in the Mosaic Law. But what does Jesus say later in Matthew 23? The Pharisees tie up heavy burdens. They're hard to carry. And they place them on men's shoulders. So they were adding new laws, additional interpretations, new customs. Remember, Jesus called them the traditions of men. Just as an example. Okay, God says don't work on the seventh day. Well, you've got to tease out, what does that mean? What are the limits? Well, they made it really strict. How far can you walk on Sabbath and not blow it? How much can you carry? What can you do? What can you not do? Can you cook? Can you not cook? Is that working? And so there was all these additional things. And so the Jewish religion, faith in God, had become exacting precision and compassionless. It was burdensome. Imagine the constant frustration for people who actually did want to be right with Yahweh, but never could do enough. Never could work hard enough. Never could fully get there. And so the people were exhausted under the oppressive religious yoke. Now, what other kinds of yokes cause weariness in our world, our day, contemporary? The traditions of men. What else?
Job commitments.
Job commitments.
Addictions.
Addictions.
Sin.
That just covers it all. Yeah. What else?
Isolation.
Isolation. What makes you weary? Tell me.
Stress.
Stress.
Financial insecurity.
Financial insecurity.
Expectations not being met.
Unmet expectations. Any others?
Health.
Yeah. I mean, there's continual struggle to make ends meet. There's weariness from raising children, from interpersonal conflict between us, between people in your families, people at jobs, from political infighting and corruption and systems that sometimes only serve the elite. Weariness from angry, aggressive drivers. Office politics. Just the run-of-the-mill gossip. All of these things are wearying. Now, what about the internal weariness? Those things are all out here that can affect us. But what about the poor choices that we've made? What about the lies that come out of our mouth? What about the internal scheming that happens? What about the effort that we give to having the perfect public persona? I want people to think I'm a certain way. What about the hurt and the pain that we've caused others? Or the abuses that have been committed against you by others? Truly, if we're asking, who doesn't feel heavy laden or burdened a lot of the time? And into this Jewish religious system and into our postmodern world with all of our concerns, all of our burdens, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember, the aim of a yoke is to put the person or the animal under the control of the master. But again, from Dane Ortlund, I think is helpful here in thinking of Jesus as master. When Jesus says my yoke is easy, he's basically telling us my yoke is a non-yoke and my burden is a non-burden. What Jesus's yoke is to his followers is like what helium is to a balloon. So piece together what we've studied so far. Christ acknowledges that we're weary and we're burdened from the yokes that we've been under. And he invites us, come to me, take on a different yoke, take on my yoke. I'm humble and gentle. I welcome you. I can be trusted. And you can learn from me. Now, there's a fun word, isn't it? It's the word that we have in other places, disciple. Discipleship. Come and learn from me. Watch me. Watch my steps. Watch how I talk. Watch how I listen. Watch how I engage and interact with people. Watch my body language. And don't miss this. I don't think we should miss this. Watch what submission to the one who is gentle and humble is as I am in his yoke. As I am under the submission of my Father. And my yoke is a non-yoke. My burden is a non-burden. And the most beautiful and glorious promise, I will give you rest. That's the third question. Who is Jesus? He's the one who gives rest. The middle of 28, the promise, I will give you rest. The end of 29, you will find rest for your souls. Isn't it curious? Jesus doesn't say to the Jewish people that he's speaking to, he doesn't say, go to the temple and be refreshed. Go to the priest. Go find more religious rules. Go clean yourself up. Go be a better person. No, where is rest found?
Jesus.
In Jesus. Come to Jesus, a person. The God-man, as it were. Come to him. And here's what's beautiful. Who's allowed to come?
Anybody.
The perfect?
No.
The ones who have it all together? The ones who know all the answers? All who have perfectly repented and confessed their sins? All who come to church every time the doors are open? All who are able to look good on the outside? The wise and understanding? No. All who can admit that they are weary and heavy burdened and will take on Christ's yoke, you will receive his rest. And truly, it's a satisfactory translation to say, I will refresh you. I will revive you. Now, what does Jesus give us rest from? And we mentioned, you know, I think two categories earlier. I think the first one is the weariness of man-made performative religion. He wants to give us rest from that. He wants us to find our acceptance in him perfectly based on his performance, based on what he is for us. Now, this kind of weariness could be for a non-Christian or a Christian, couldn't it? For the non-Christian, Jesus invites you to stop trying to find your acceptance by improving yourself, by trying to make yourself better, by trying to be good enough, make yourself clean. No one ever stands outside the shower and gets naked and gets a washcloth and starts wiping themselves down before they get in. No, you just get in and you get clean. You don't try to clean yourself up before you come to the shower. Jesus' perfect life was accepted by God on your behalf. He died in your place as the perfect sacrifice. You need only to believe it and come to Jesus for refreshment for a weary soul. But there's also refreshment for the Christian, isn't there? Maybe from time to time, you find yourself trying to maintain your relationship, your status with Christ by doing things. I need to serve. I need to give. I need to be going to all these things. Friends, that's not living by grace, and it will absolutely exhaust you. Christ has freed you from doing enough to be accepted. You are accepted because of Christ. Amen. It's the beauty of the gospel. So when you walk in your own strength, when you try to be kind and forgive others in your own strength, when you try to be generous in your own power, when you try to fight your sin in your own strength, then you will feel weary. Indeed, you will feel crushed. Often. And Jesus says to the Christian, come to me and I will refresh you. I will give you the grace and the strength that you need to follow all of my commands and to be like me. If you try to walk the Christian life out in your own strength, in your own wisdom, you will find yourself right back at square one, burdened and weary. Secondly, there's rest or refreshment to be had from, I think, just the general weariness of life. Life is hard. We mentioned some earlier. Employment burdens. Students, you have school burdens. Social and friendship weariness. Family burdens. Sickness, disease, the rising anti-Christian tide in our culture. All of these things make us weary. And so can I invite you right now, right where you are, if you're opening, if you've got your phone open, if you've got pencil and paper, I want you to just write down one or two burdens. Things right now, you're limited to two. Just write them down, because we're going to give them to the Lord, because he says, come to me. So write them down. Open the notes on your phone, write them in there. We're going to give them to him. Because you have to come to Jesus continually and do this. Because tomorrow morning when you wake up and you try to pick these back up, what are you going to do? I'm going to come back to Jesus. And I'm going to give them to him again. In our world, due to sin and the power of the flesh, this rest is fleeting. You've discovered this, haven't you? Because every morning when you wake up, your flesh is pointed back again towards self-sufficiency. And it wants to drag your soul with it. Therefore, daily, we have to come back to the Lord. And we have to come back to Jesus. And we have to receive this fresh rest. And guess what? It may not just be when you wake up. As our sister was sharing earlier, it may be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I need rest again. And then it may be 5 p.m. I need to be refreshed again. And then it may be at night. I'm just weary from everything all day accumulated. And I need rest. And you need to keep coming back to Jesus, continually abiding, continual dependence, continual trust. This is the intended life for every disciple. Either until Jesus returns or until we go to him. Continually coming to him for rest and giving him our burdens. Just offloading them. In Psalm 37, it talks about trusting in the Lord. I commit my way to him. That image is a metaphor. It means this big stone, this big thing that's on you, that you roll off of yourself onto someone else. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll all those things off of yourself and roll them onto Jesus. And when your flesh or the enemy rolls it right back onto you, what do? Go back to Jesus and roll it back off and commit your way to him again. And the eschatological, is that a new word? The future hope, the eternal hope that we have in the gospel is a future of unending refreshment. Can you imagine that? Burdens lifted, worries and weariness gone, continual refreshment. Here's what it says in Revelation 21, and then we're going to do some application together. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, to John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, are you thirsty? Are you burdened? Are you weary? I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. That's continual in the new heaven and the new earth, in Christ's presence for all of eternity. Now, let's turn our attention towards application. How do you take today's teaching, and what are some things that we need to live out? How do you respond to Christ's teaching?
Hate the sin, love the sinner.
What do you mean by that, brother? Hate the sin, love the sinner.
Well, what I believe you're saying today is that Christ says he loves all of us. He hates our sin, but he can separate us from the sin as long as we come to him.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. He has died to forgive us of all of these sins. And he has grace and forgiveness. Keep coming to him. What else? loving others when it's hard? Yeah. Yeah, there's part of walking this out in when he says, learn from me, there's a walking it out for us with others, isn't there? Learn from me. Watch how I interact with people. There's, you know, the second great commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Other things that stick out to you?
God refreshes you.
God refreshes you. Yeah, maybe I'll bring those two together. Jesus' promise for refreshment is not universal for every person, no matter what, is it? You're like, wait, is it? He promises every person, everywhere, rest, no matter what. What's the condition? You have to come and be willing to what? Take on his yoke. You have to get in the yoke. I think, this is an aside, there's probably a lot of people in our culture who have thought they've come to him for refreshment, but they've refused to take on the yoke. So were they actually really refreshed if they're not willing to walk in his yoke?
In the long run, no.
Right.
I mean, maybe they'll get temporary refreshment, but in the long run, they'll go back to the
place. He refreshes all who come to him, all who recognize their need, all who are tired and burdened, all who will receive his yoke. Any other things that stick out that before we come to the table?
Yeah, as great as he is and all powerful, king of everything, the one who is the burning smoke and fire on the top of Sinai, and yet always inviting his people to come to him and wanting to live in the middle of his people, and now just being reminded, it's good to be reminded that he's approachable.
Mm.
And he wants me to come close.
Yeah.
As much as I can remember to do it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. He is the all-powerful one who dwelt on Mount Sinai in smoke and fire. And he, in that moment, wanted to display his holiness. And yet he's the approachable one that says, come to me. I want to have intimacy with you. It's relationship. Any other things? These are great.
Helping people that sin.
That's part of walking in his yoke, isn't it? We have a responsibility to tell others, you can come to Jesus. I am no different than you. I didn't come to Jesus because I had it all figured out. Because I was smarter. Because I was wise and understanding. And the Lord opened my eyes. And he drew me in. And he can forgive you too. And we're supposed to broadcast this message abroad to all of our friends and family. Thanks, brother. Well, the only rest I've ever found that was good rest is in Christ. Haven't you found the same to be true? And I'm thankful what the psalm says, that he never sleeps and he never slumbers. So even physically, as we lay our heads down, he's refreshing us as he needs none. The eternal one is ready and eager for us to come and drink. Isaiah 61 says, come and eat. Come buy without money, without price. Come. Everything he has, he's ready to share with you. Everything you need, he has. Let's pray and we'll come to the table. Lord, I just need this reminder often. To just come to you. I don't have to figure things out. I don't have to get dusted off. I have the requirement to come and to be honest with you and to admit who I am and to be refreshed. And Lord, everyone in here has a different set of issues that are going on in our lives. Some of it is man-made religion that we're still unlearning. Help us, Lord, to continually unlearn performing for you and just to walk in the intimacy and the approachability and the grace that we find in you. Lord, continue to help us learn how to enjoy you, to enjoy knowing you and walking with you. Lord, refresh us today. Lighten the burdens that my brothers and sisters wrote down on their pages. Lift these burdens. May we let them go. And may you refresh us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.